centre bounce and a ruckman crash on him.
When you get smashed in centre bounce, it just puts you on the back foot.
Crawley, Jordy McKenzie, all on the wing. McDonald runs with the football. Tyson takes it. Campbell the body.
They're moving the ball as well as any. When you get time and space and their willingness to really go fast.
They are so pure, so beautiful to watch with the footy.
On Halftime, Pure Footy.
For berriesonline.com.au, all soft, absolutely delicious for Champion Data of AFL Prospectus 2015 Gold Embossed Edition. Hashtag Gold Embossed on your tweets to the program this afternoon, if you don't mind. And for 1300 4 tradie, we bring you Glenn Luff from Champion Data every week. Hello, Luffy.
Daniel, how you going?
Very well, thanks. We've got some interesting feedback off the SMS early for you, and I'd like to get your take on it shortly. Okay. And the world's greatest footy analyst, David King, is back. Hello, Kingy.
I want to know what this feedback is straight away. Good afternoon, lads. Great to be here. Looking forward to today's show, actually. A lot of fun to be had.
A lot of fun to be had. A lot of data to be given, and an opinion to be made as well. Brett Owen Beaky, this is the information we're getting.
What do you got,
Kingy? We know Luffy is a connoisseur of certain areas of the fruit game. Oh. And Brett Owen Beaky says, given it is the beginning of Mandarin season, Luffy should be unstoppable today. Glenn?
I want to know where he's getting his mandarins, because I believe it's over.
Season's over.
I think it's about a 4 to 6 week block where they're absolutely 100% supreme.
Who knows this stuff?
Well, it all started.
Champion Data do graphs on mandarins.
See, the more speak, the more I worry about you.
It started 2 years ago. I said to Halfie, that mandarin is no good. That'll be full of pips. And I was spot on because there's air.
Nah.
The fruit and the skin.
You've got to get air between the fruit and the skin.
The air's gone. So give it away. Save up for next year. The window is too small.
This is a bad advert for Bearings Online.
They don't do mandarin stuff.
Are they still a sponsor?
Do they exist?
I haven't seen
all soft, from natural, absolutely delicious.
Really?
Have you not got your berries?
Not for 9 weeks.
Well, the chosen one's in charge of berry distribution here on Pure Footy.
You're not on my chosen watch, I can assure you.
So, but mandarin season's over.
I think it is.
Well, that is controversial.
Northern suburbs, it is.
It's controversial.
We got a bag last week, and I didn't buy the bag. And
there's no air? No
air.
Well, if there's no air, there's no fruit.
Sounds like feedback at home, that one.
It was my daughter that picked it.
Well, now blaming the kids. Gee whiz. I want to open the batting today with some information that Glenn's brought to the table.
What's he got? Kingy.
And I'd like you, on behalf of the footy world, to apologise to Levi Casbolt.
Me?
Yep. On behalf of the footy world, no, nothing. But you're the world's greatest footy analyst. On behalf of the footy world, I need you to apologise to Levi Casbolt, because what Levi gets every weekend when he's playing for the Blues is ridicule on his set shot. It's bordering on bullying.
It's bullying by commentators,
by fans.
Fans at the ground,
and viewers at home. I'm sure
he takes a mark inside 50, and there's laughing and there's sort of whispering, and it's
awkward.
Like, it's schoolyard stuff. But of the guys that have had 20 or more set shots this year,
he has gone
at a accuracy of 70%, and that includes the missed shots. He's kicked 14-4.
Missed, when you say missed his foot or missed the goals?
Missed totally.
Sorry. Yep.
Missed totally. So 14-4 and 2 missed. Second best in the competition behind.
Second best.
Jamie Elliott. So the message is stop teasing him.
Stop teasing Levi.
Second best in the comp.
Yep.
Yes. Oh,
Jamie Elliott has kicked 15 out of 20 set shots. Levi Casbolt has 14 out of 20. Charlie Dixon, 16 out of 23. He's at 69.6%, Charlie. Levi's at 70. And Jamie is at 75% set shot accuracy.
So now, his field kicking is a problem. He's 13% below the competition average. But going for goal in a set shot where everyone's laughing, he is... been very good this year, so
that's a good start.
I'd pull it out.
That's a great stat.
That's a really good stat.
That's what today's about. It's random stat day. We're going to come up with some different sorts of stats that just might give 3 or 4 players that might just surprise you, Daniel.
Yes,
where they're at with the various facets of the game. That's a great starter, Luffy.
It's a big start, isn't it? Levi would be sitting there. Where's Levi sitting today?
You've nearly paid your way today. If we had a mandarin or two, we'd give it to you.
Well, mandarin.
Jesse Hogan. Isn't that good to see Jesse Hogan up there?
Where's Jesse? Jesse's fourth. He's fourth, 68%.
Tom Boyd. It's good to see some young stars through.
Good point.
That actually can convert. I think it's really exciting. Cam McCarthy's up there. He's seventh.
Yeah, 64.5% for Cam.
That's very good.
He's had a good sample size.
Josh
31
Bruce.
Snags or shots.
Josh Bruce. That's pretty good for Josh.
considering he's a defender.
What do you mean?
The last couple of years.
Oh, yeah.
No, Pavlich is at 60 of the established superstars. Eddie Betts at 60.9. Jay Schultz at 61.1. Now, most people would think Jay Schultz is dead-eye Dick.
He's regulation.
Regulation. Yeah,
he's been poor this year. Yep.
61.1. So, Levi's number of 70.
Where's the data on where they're having those shots from, though, Glenn? I think there's some sort of stats abuse in here. Levi could be knocking these through from the goal square, and you've got other young fellas on the boundary line, like Jay Schultz, for me, hasn't had a lot of shots in the corridor this year. Just from what we've seen, that you're going to prove me wrong. I can feel it.
Well,
coming.
No, I've got a feeling he won't.
He's been wide. I think he's been wider this year, shots at goal, than they have in the last couple. He hasn't.
Because they haven't been able to get the ball through that middle channel.
As quick. And I reckon he's been forced wide, and his accuracy has suffered because of Port suffering with their ball speed.
Now, of course, one of the other big talking points when we talk accuracy in footy, as Luffy gets that detail for us, is Travis Clark, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, Trav has he's turned his season around remarkably. He's now up to 57.5% set shots. So he's, what's the number, 23 from 40. 14 behind the 3 misses in those shots.
With Levi, given all his shots at goal, he's going at 2% above the expected rate. So we measure where it is on the ground, the distance, and the pressure that it's under. Now, of all his shots, he's 2% above the AFL average. His field kicking is 13% down. So we've seen that. That's been a problem. Jay Schultz.
He's not going to be able to change that, Daniel, is he? His field kicking will be what his field kicking is.
Yeah.
Set shots you can work with?
Well, clearly you can. And this is one of the topics I want to get to shortly, as Luffy gives us the information on Jay Schultz.
Yeah, he's plus 3.7. So you're right there. There'd be a lot of wide shots for Jay. But he has missed a couple in the last month that he would usually nail.
Yeah.
But he isn't too bad.
The investment in Saverio Rocca by the Carlton Football Club.
Give us a ballpark. What would the investment be?
That's a great question. That's a great question.
With a specific role like that, would it be 20 grand?
Would you get 20?
Would it be 40?
I don't know. 20.
He's entitled to walk in and ask for a rise.
Well, why wouldn't there be more players out there? Look what I've done with Levi. More people out there, or Sav going around other clubs. This is what I can do. Do you want to help a brother out 2 days a week for 60? Because I can give you this sort of return.
He is a brother. He's a brother of Anthony.
He is. Very much so. If I could do this with Levi, I can do this with anyone, is what Sav could say. So why has it taken so long for clubs to invest in this area of the game, Kingy? Because, as we know, goal kicking is critical, and accuracy at goals is critical if you're going to win more games than you lose. And there's only been one investment.
It affects everything, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You start to kick well at goals, you start to mark well, your field kicking can improve because your confidence is high.
But the blokes around you too.
Yeah. I think it's great.
You know, when you're in a rut in front of goal, your team misses 3 and 4 in a row and you're the next bloke that has a shot, you feel shocking about yourself.
That was Mick, wasn't it? Mick went after Sav, didn't he? That wasn't the new regime. Yeah, so that's a little parting gift there for Levi from M. Malthouse. All the best with your goal kicking. So 70% is fantastic. If he can go at 70%, he could be, what, a 50 to 60 goal kicker for the year, could he be, at his best? Is that too much to ask?
I'm not sure he gets enough longer term, easy ball. Like, we see those big clunks, but there might be 3 of those, 4 of those at best in a game. You just got to get more of those, you know, marks in the lead and get more shots at goal, I think. You'd want to see more than 20 set shots at goal. But
I'm
he's
ask
got
you
potential.
A question then. On the back of those numbers, on the back of Levi's kicking coming good and the reluctance to have multiple types of that player in your team, do they need Henderson as a forward if Levi is able to do this?
I think Henderson's a really good lead-up player. Not necessarily
a connector.
That's the new word.
Is that a new word in footy?
I've heard that the last 2 or 3 weeks.
Get on board.
Right, eh? Lingo.
Alan Richardson.
Random
says
lingo
that
day.
A lot
bloke
about
who
Nick
connects
Roylott.
Your counter attack from defensive half. You need someone to mark the ball somewhere between 50 from your goal and 80 or 90 from your goal.
Like the centre sort of line across the
middle
of the ground.
Exactly. That sort of line's what we're looking for.
What do we call that centre forward?
The attacking mid zone.
Attacking mid.
Field zone. Whatever way you want to go.
The connector.
The
I like that.
Attacking midfield zone sort of area. The person who marks it in there is really important. And we see Nick Riewoldt's done that for years. Jack Riewoldt's starting to do that for Richmond now. Collingwood, when they break down, tend to use Travis Cloke further up the ground to try and get that connector involved.
The connector, I love it.
So you're right, maybe they can use Henderson in that role, yeah.
I think the Bombers are a team that lack one of those players.
Ooh.
And but they yep. got a lot of problems up forward. When it gets in there, they can't take the one-on-ones. Ground ball, they struggle, so they have got a few problems. But just thinking of Essendon.
He just dropped in a little bit of Ross.
He did drop in a bit of Ross.
Look at our Ross watch this week.
Well, no, Ross is on holidays. Even he needs a break from Ross watch.
He's doing his GPS. I told you last week.
I want to hear that GPS. We had a lot of support for that.
I'm onto it.
We need to get
that.
It's
one of
my
special projects at the moment to come back to you in the next few weeks.
I want to be with you on that project.
GPS, Ross.
Some of the other numbers, just as we get to the break on set shot accuracy, Tom Hawkins is 58.6%. Josh Kennedy from the West Coast Eagles leading the Coleman is 56.6%. Jack Revolt, you mentioned, he's 54.1%. Lance Franklin, 52.6%. And I'm surprised to see this number. And these are from players that have had 20 or more shots. At goal set shots. Jake Stringer.
Yeah, horrible.
35%. How much better can he be? He's 7 from 20.
Yeah, he looks like a player that needs the game flowing and just does that freaky stuff. I mean, his general play goals are outstanding, aren't they? You can kick him from the boundary on the run, on the left, but set shots have been a bit ordinary. Jack Gunston.
Gunston's the one.
He's 9-8.
That's amazing.
Second last out of that. So everyone talks about Gunston's output being down, and yes, his goals have gone from 2.5 to 2 a game. It could come down to accuracy.
All shocked by that miss late in the Sydney game at the MCG. But when you look at the numbers, you say, wow, he's actually cold missed the goals 7 times out of 30 shots. That's a lot, isn't
that
it?
That is a lot for an accurate kick.
That's a huge what think would be percentage. Yeah. So sometimes the figures tell you the story well in advance. And yeah. I think that Gunston and Bruce are on watch for me. I know Bruce is a lot better, but he gets his a lot closer to goal. Yeah. They're on watch because they seem to have dropped off a fraction this year.
That's a good point.
It's funny with kicking. People look at how the kick looks and how they kick it. Mm. And oh, geez, a good kick. You hear a commentator, great kick.
It's beautiful
looks
kick.
Off the boot, goes straight to the opposition, and then the commentator ignores that. But
that's not important right now.
Andrew Carrazzo, Carrazzo was Italian for turnover in the early days. But his kicking inside 50 over a 3-year period
good sample.
Was one of the best in the competition. He knew his limitations. His turnovers looked really, really bad. So you've got to actually look at the result rather than just the style of
Daniel,
it.
Daniel,
this is great stuff.
He's very good, isn't he?
This is Mandarin season.
He's had a great week, Glenn.
I reckon you've had real Mandarin season.
Can we talk to our work experience champion?
Well, fly in, fly out's gone home. He's flying out.
And got sent home early, I heard.
Oh, no.
Don't want to go into it.
We've got a newbie.
There was a dispute over a coffee scroll.
Oh, no.
That may or may not have gone missing from the champion data fridge.
Hey, boys, we've got Spencer here.
Yeah.
He's an umpire.
He's a what? He's Oh, we're going to have to deal with that. 25 past 12 on Pure Footy on a Thursday afternoon for the Champion Data AFL Prospectus 2015 hashtag Gold Embossed Edition for berriesonline.com.au and for 1300 4 tradie. Rebuilding the North one pergola at a time. And we're not dominating the West at the minute, are we, Kingy?
Not venturing West at the moment. I mean, just how the business has taken off since Telstra Phone Woods got on board has been unbelievable.
Great support.
It has.
Great
good afternoon
support.
To
so
Amanda
it's connected
too.
Today.
Good afternoon to Amanda.
Yeah, it's great to have Amanda listening.
Yeah, Paul. Anyway, what about our favourite umpire over here?
What's happened there? It's been an incident.
Where have you been umpiring?
Spencey. Work experience boy, Spence.
Yeah. We sacked the other fella.
Fly out.
Yeah.
He's gone.
He gone.
Coffee scroll thief.
What are you umpiring? What level of footy?
So, Northern Footy League. About, under 12s regularly, but, get up to the under 17s on the odd occasion, but usually we're playing in the afternoon when they play, but, same rules apply.
Have you noticed, if you're watching umpiring at AFL level, and are you noticing any changes?
Well, the games, obviously, mean more stoppages and it's flowing a lot. It's not flowing as much. So I find that umpires could probably move around the packs a bit more than what they actually do. I mean, obviously they get around and they run up and down the ground quite a bit, but just to get that better angle moving around the packs.
Very good.
Work experience, Spence. Hey. Did you just say something about stoppages at local footy? There's more congestion, more stoppages at local footy?
Congestion.
Because generally it's one umpire per game up to under 16s.
Yep.
So you're not getting the right, stoppages, congestion, you can't see what's in there. So more or less, when you can't decide, you just call the ball up, and well, that counts even more stoppages.
No, that's bloody terrific insight from you, because this is what we talk about in footy all the time, that what happens at the top filters down to the lower levels.
It's amazing.
We've got some data in front of us from our good friends at Champion Data.
How did Spencer
know this stuff? regards to the number of stoppages of the last 15 years, Luffy, and there is a disturbing trend. Can you elaborate, please?
So when we say stoppages, it's just the throw-ins and ball-ups. So I hear a lot of people quote the total stoppages, which includes centre bounces, but the centre bounces are all about how many goals. And
it's a reward
and
for goals.
There's always four at the start of each quarter. So it's the throw-ins and ball-ups alone. And we saw a peak around 2002 at 63. Then there was they were hotter on the holding the ball rule around that time, where Sydney were playing that high stoppage game. And it fell down to 47.6 per game in 06. So that's the lowest in the last 15 years. Since then, we have got it up to 72.4 per game. That's throw-ins and ball-ups. So that's gone up by 25 in a decade. Now, it's gone up a lot this year. It's gone up by 5. It's gone from 67 to 72. So it's gone up by 5.5. And in the last month, Kingy, we've seen a lot of stoppages. So round 9, it was 80 per game.
Yep.
77 in round 10, 88 in round 11, and 75.5 in round 12. Now, people will argue, wet weather. But we saw a lot of wet weather footy at the start of the year as well. So that's not it. I'm not sure if, people notice it out there, whether it's boring them. I don't know the answer, because there's some games where there's high stoppage and you think, gee, that was a good game. The Port Geelong game was good to watch, but there's 112 of these in the game.
Was it
112.
Really? Yeah.
So there is a lot, and it's going up. The graph is going up, and I don't think we want it to continue to go up.
In terms of time, how much time would we be losing, say, this year as comparison to 10 years ago?
So it's 11 seconds on average between... if you take in the throw-ins and ball-ups.
Yep.
So you times that by 25 that it's gone up. There's your 4.5 minutes of extra game time. So back in 06, it was 117 minutes a game. Now we're up to 123. A few years ago, I think it was 2011, it was up to 124 minutes a game. But they were taking a lot more time to throw it in and ball it up. So they've quickened that up. Now, if they hadn't have done that, we could have... blown it out to sort of 125, 126 minutes. So it'd be interesting to see what the punter thinks out there of these high stoppages, because we thought we'd get more return on the scoreboard this year and nothing's changed. It's basically the same. So yeah.
Well, we'll open the lines on that quickly. 9-4-2-9-11-16. Kingy, it's symptomatic, surely, of the era of defence first footy, of the game evolving from your traditional magnet board footy, where you've got your six backs, six forwards, six mids, and that's where you sort of stay for the afternoon. It's symptomatic of modern footy, but is it necessarily good for the game long term?
No, it needs a rule change for me. I've been big on this for a while. I'm not sure why we have throw-ins between the arcs in the midfield, between the 50-metre lines. Why do we have throw-ins? Would it change the game dramatically? Of course, it would make a significant change, but would it impact on your ability to play ruckman, say, if you said last person who touches the ball out of bounds, it's the opposition's free kick? Would it change the game that dramatic? Because I think you've got to discourage teams from playing wide. That's what's crueling the game, in my opinion. We want more highlights. We want more corridor play. We want goals. We want to see more scores. We want more adventurous play.
Yep.
We want the ball in play. I think that when the game stops, for me, it loses something. And I just think if we discourage teams from kicking it wide because they'd lose possession anyway, that it would be a good thing for the game. And I know we've trialled it years ago in a NAB Challenge series.
Yeah, we did so, yeah.
But we fell off it pretty quick. I think it's time to have a look at that.
Between the arcs is interesting.
The throw-ins of where it's really gone up. Ball-ups have gone up, but throw-ins at a
higher rate.
Because
we're playing the boundaries.
Because we're playing wider.
Because we're being safe.
Because defence is king.
That's David.
I heard a suggestion this morning from someone, maybe the boundary umpire coming in 10 metres and then throwing it in from there. So you're not going to get the repeat throw-ins. It's just a suggestion.
Yep.
It's
spitballing. It's good.
It's an interesting discussion. I know KB, we spoke to KB about it, and... He'll talk about interchange will be the solution.
What about
well, Rocket E disputes that in the coach's box last Friday?
But does anyone know the answer?
No, no, we
try things.
We can.
We need to trial things. And I know that unfortunately it impacts on the NAB challenge, which is, you know, teams build up to the season proper and it's not great for them.
Yep.
But I think we have to have some sort of competition cost where we look at it. NAB challenge is obvious.
But if we trial it in the NAB, it's got to be 22 on 22 and a normal game to trial it, I think. Because in the NAB, you've got 26, 27, 28 players.
Heat that rule. Can
play. Yeah, there's all that. You need to trial it and get a decent sample size.
Sample size is important. No, we know that. We know that.
If you're going to
talk
trial
like it. A data analyst now again, Glenn, please.
Now, lines are open. 9:49, 11:16 after the break.
How good was Spencer then?
Work experience Spencer's really hit his straps here on Pure Footy.
I've got something for you too. My boys from 1300 for Tradie rang me during the week.
Did they?
They've picked up something the umpires are doing around the goal face. I want to talk about it after the break.
Right, we'll do that. We'll get your calls as
not
well,
sure
Sean
Spencer's
and Dave.
Not sure Spencer's onto this
I
either.
I wouldn't be surprised if Work Experience Spence, or Wiss as we'll call him, is all over it and a whole lot more. Winning the one, Pure Footy of the world's greatest footy analyst, David King, and the reluctant hero, Glenn Luff, who we've just been reminded about a big night Saturday night.
Can't wait.
How good's it going to be?
Won't sleep.
Cannot wait to celebrate Glenn's 40th birthday.
All we need now?
Mandarin cake.
And an invite.
And an invite.
That's all we need.
Have you seriously not invited us to your 40th
birthday? Have you not invited members, Hawthorn, Essendon? Come on.
Did you think that this wouldn't get out?
Did you think?
No, did you think that we would
out that
avoid?
Number, don't worry.
I heard you've got 100 people coming and neither of us are part of it.
Far from it.
40?
Nah, 20. Nah, I haven't got 40 friends.
20?
Good big family. Good
there
family.
Yeah, there might be about 20.
Any new mattresses for Bex bedding on the agenda for your birthday present?
So we're not in his top 20.
Nah.
Daniel?
We're not in his top 20?
No.
Slightly disappointing.
Mm. If I hear the Berries Online have got invites to this party.
I hear Pignataro is going.
He's been canning them for weeks. If Pops turns up with this party, that's it. Hey, I want you to keep your eye out.
Hold out. I've got stoppage people on the line. Hold your data.
On the line.
Yeah, they want to talk about the way the game's being influenced by stoppages. Sean's in Ringwood.
I didn't even know we took calls.
G'day, Sean.
G'day, lads. How you going?
Good, thanks.
I guess the problem with more stoppages is it reduces the scoring as well. So I've got two suggestions. First one will be if it's a secondary centre bounce because there's a ball up called after the initial bounce, the players should all have to vacate the square again rather than everyone being able to run in and congest that contest.
Yeah, centre bounce you're talking
centre
about.
Centre bounce recalls.
Yeah, centre bounce recalls, yeah.
Not a bad idea.
And I reckon the second one you could do is force each team to play with six forwards, at each centre bounce. So when the ball is bounced, you have to have six forwards inside your 50. So you'd only have the four players inside the square and the two wingmen, which would create a bit more room on the field.
Old school,
There, these two ideas. Food for thought.
I don't like
segregating.
Centre bounces aren't the issue. I mean, a centre bounce is, there's a secondary stoppage 13.8% of the time. A throw-in, it's 24.7% of the time, and a ball-up, 24.9%. So it's the throw-ins and ball-ups that get you more secondary stoppages.
Thank you, Sean. David's in Melton. G'day, Dave.
G'day, boys. How are you doing?
Good. Yeah, good, mate.
I've been winging about this for a while, and so has Ox, and I think you two, Half and Dermy. The umpires control the way the game is played. The AFL and the Rules Committee have put rules in place for this not to happen, like deliberate out of bounds, holding the ball and incorrect disposal. In the Sydney and North Melbourne game, there was 120-something ball-ups and not one of them was in incorrect disposal. Not one of them was holding the ball.
But let's just say that that is the case, David. So let's just say that the umpires have got this 100% right and there was... everything was within the rules of the game. We still have to legislate in some form or another to discourage teams from playing wide. We don't want them to play the boundary line, fundamentally.
Mm.
So I think we need to come up with something, David. And I understand your anger at the umpiring of the game, but it's probably not where we're channeling our thoughts here. It's more about what can we do.
Just wants to see the free kicks paid, Dave. Spread
that's
the game through free kicks.
We all agree with that, but I don't think this is an umpire bashing
session. No, far from. Not pointing the fingers
to
anywhere.
Look at the scenario.
Concerned about situations at play. Pete's in ball. G'day, Pete.
How are you?
Good, buddy.
Two things. One, yes, it was trialled where if the last person that touches the ball when it goes out of bounds, the opposition gets the ball. But as always, and you're getting better at it. It was code bashing. It was a soccer rule. Didn't like it. It was Aussie rules. So we went back. Now, Kingy, where do we trial this? The seconds. Why? Because that's where your youngsters come up from. They will be taught not to go play wide. They will be taught to go through the corridor. And when they come up, they will know that they can't go out there. And put it in for a season and see how the seconds go, rather than that cap, which is a, let's call it a holiday game.
Yep.
The VFL is suggesting the second tier, Kingy.
Pete actually reminds me, that's... He's going to, Ross Lyon's going to sound like Peter in about 15 years. He will.
I thought it was Halfy Ross.
Yeah. Ross Harford. Now, look, Peter makes a good point, but I think the seconds now mimic what the senior team want to do. So you can't have two separate plans. You can't have two separate ways of administering or legislating across the game. I don't think that'll happen. I think that you need to tell clubs this is a trial. Yes, there's going to be some ramifications to your build up to your season, but it's 4 weeks out. Let's attack it with a mature level frame of mind.
Thank you, Pete, for your involvement. Michael's in Spotswood. Hello, Michael.
Yeah, just a couple of quick things. Firstly, in my day, we used to call connectors centre half forward. As far as stoppages goes, I reckon coaches will always find ways to manipulate a match so that it suits their list. You've got to go to the point. You've got to go to the point of penalising them. That's why I'm all for a free kick for the last person who touches it over the boundary line.
I think you'd see more risk. I think you'd see certainly some more...
We'd see more effort to keep the ball in play.
Can you imagine like a Silrioli trapped on the boundary line? He's touched it last. He's got to do something. There's players coming to basically force him out of bounds. Not the ball, but him out of bounds and get him... And just allow him to be brilliant. I think you'd see... You'd see play where you just basically just clap your eye. That's fantastic. How good's that?
There'd be a lot of handballing onto legs.
Yeah,
to get to come off them.
All sorts of stuff. It'd be fantastic. Creative. Just, I'd like to see it. I'm not sure correct anything really, but
you don't know if it'll correct or create another problem.
There's no right or wrong, is there?
More for the preseason being used to experiment anything they like.
What about this guy that wants to take away the boundary line?
Sorry?
So it's just the fence.
He wants to just make the fence like ice hockey.
Can you give us your top five, Kingy, on who would enjoy that the most?
I'll tell you what, the first player to concuss himself on the fence, if I was... Have we got a gambling sponsor here?
Well, everyone does.
Our friends at Sportsbet would have Mitch Robertson at $1.10. wouldn't he be?
Yeah, no, he would.
The problem with the fence situation is ball often goes over the fence.
What do you do?
A bit different to ice hockey, where it's quite high. Very rarely does the puck go outside the rink.
It's a free kick.
We need the ball to stay in the field of play if we're going to be rebounding off.
I don't like that one.
And I'm not sure our concussion guidelines are wrapped with this situation either.
We're here. Safety first.
Safety first. OHS. 13-1. We'll come back after the break. The chicken pizzola melt from Subway is not too far away from many of you out there. Have you had one of them?
Spencer was a little bit flat with that umpire feedback from David.
He's taking it back to the Northern Free League.
You're okay. You're all right. See, you won't even talk to me.
Yeah, he won't even talk anymore. No. Pure Footy on a Thursday afternoon. Kingy and Luffy with us. And Kingy, it turns out, and after we did realise it was Glenn's 40th birthday Saturday night that we're not invited to, that we're not the only ones. He's had some feedback from his personal text machine in the last...
Who have you invited? Let's be honest. Who have you invited? Because clearly you're disappointed with the level of invitations that Alison sent out at the moment.
I didn't want anything, but it's sort of just grown into something a little bit bigger, but anyway, can we get on with it?
The party.
That'd be nice.
How long do we go for?
Tackles inside 50.
Yes, they're very important.
Hang on, before you get on with that, Spence is in agony here as I'm waiting to tell you my new rule you've got.
I'll do that.
Not the new rule, but just have a look. You know the Stevie J type kick, a snap kick, a goal, when someone takes a mark within sort of 15 to 20 at goal and they turn side on.
Yep.
And those players on the mark that are meant to be back 5 metres and not quite back five.
Not quite
they're always about 3 metres from the kicker. He takes one step and it's almost smotherable.
Yep.
Which is not quite right. It's against the laws of physics.
Not really.
The umpires now, the second umpire is racing in and they're basically, if you draw a line between the two umpires, they are 5 metres back. They're making the protected zone from the player with the ball who's taken the mark to where the guys are allowed to charge in from 5 metres away. I think it's a great innovation or initiative from Wayne Campbell and his troops.
But are they in the way of the kicker?
No, they're back.
Well, I've seen this. I've noticed this, King. You're right.
The umpire who is racing in is probably 15 metres behind the player with the ball who's about to snap it. So all he is just a reference point, just a line, just a marker, if you like. And obviously the other umpire is now 5 metres back from the mark once he's set the mark. And I think that it's something that's, I think, going to really enable the snap goal kickers more time, and we should get better conversion.
Yep.
Because they're going to have two steps rather than just half a step.
Well, Levi's rapped about that. Yes. The second best accurate kicking for set shot goal in the competition. Glenn.
Stop teasing him.
I'm pumping him up.
Daniel.
Forward 50 tackles. Glenn, very important these days.
Well, the Eagles aren't a huge tackling team. They rank 13th in the comp, but they rank number one for forward 50 tackles. And if you want a press that is a 100% press, it's the West Coast Eagles. And the guy in the forward 50 that's doing all the damage is Cripps. From West Coast.
Is it?
He's at 35. The next most is Chris Main at 25. And then you got Rioli and Pialopolo.
Who?
Said that well. Gee, 21.
Is he coming Saturday?
So he's 14 ahead of the third ranked player. And it just, I thought about the West Coast drafting or recruiting over the last 5 years. And everyone criticised them for not getting some players in at the end of last season from other teams.
Yep. But
before that, they got Josh Hill. He's kicked 20-plus goals. Cripps has kicked 20 goals, plus he's got this tackling pressure. You've got Yo, who's gone from that back flanker to a big midfielder who can take a mark and kick some goals. And Wellingham, since round four, has been the fifth-best interceptor in the competition. So those four guys that they've got from other clubs, they've done really well with their... Yeah, pro scouting, that's what it would have been called. And Mick Moreland was the guy back then. So those guys are a very important piece of the West Coast jigsaw puzzle.
So they've got the reigning Brownlow medalist. They've got the likely Coleman medalist this year. They've got the centre-half back in the All-Australian team as a lock now, our man Mitz McGovern.
Mitz.
They've got the number one forward 50 tackler in the competition.
By a margin, too.
Top five intercept marker, which would be... fifth behind probably McGovern, I would assume. So they got two of the top five. And Yo, who's probably the most improved player in the competition this year, you'd say, he's standing in the game's gone from outside of top 100 to inside probably top 20. If and Mike Sheen was doing...
And the Coleman medalist? Yeah. You mentioned that.
Yeah. Are you listening to that?
No,
he's planning a party. He's got Mandarin cake on his mind.
What sort of cake will we be having?
Mandarin cake.
So, I mean, it just shows you what Adam Simpson's been able to do in a short space of time with the tools that he's been afforded. And I think when you look at the West Coast, it wasn't a complete mess when he took over. I think this is the rollover was handled really well by John Worsfold and the staff or whoever you want to, the list manager at West Coast. I'm not exactly sure who that is. I don't know if that role is still your mate. What's his name? Moylan.
Yeah, no, he's gone back to Perth.
Yeah. So I'm not sure who it is at the moment, but they've done a great job, haven't they, in transition?
It's also interesting. You look at the teams that those players are involved in, the top forward 50 tacklers, and Cripps is 10 ahead of Chris Main from Frio. And you've got West Coast Frio, Hawthorn represented with Rioli and Puopolo, and Franklin in sixth position, all in the top five on the ladder. So it's not as if it's just class and skill that gets these teams to those positions. It's their efficiency and their work rate in that certain regions of the ground. Jeffy Gallant, the outlier there, who's obviously playing with Melbourne. He's fifth with 20, but they're down the order a bit. But the other five of the first six are in top five on the ladder.
Buddy's pressure has always been underrated, I think. And I heard someone say a couple of weeks ago, his pressure's been really good this year. He's starting to do that. He's always done it. Yeah. For a key forward, he's been clearly the best in the comp for over 5 years.
You want to go halves?
Yeah.
In the present?
Well,
what do we get him? More golf balls. And his coffee scroll that got knocked
off. Oh, he's still flat about the scroll. Fly in, fly out. Levi out there this weekend at Etihad Stadium, all you Blues fans. When he gets it, just cheer him.
Cheer him.
Cheer him. Hey, just high five him.
Why don't we go on Booze Bids?
Boozebids.com.au.
We'll get some cheap presents there.
Give him a slab.
Look forward to seeing Spence next time. I thought he was fantastic.
Spence umpire well this week.
Oh, good luck. Thank you very much, boys.
Just remember, don't bugger it up. So you've got to remember. Thank you, boys. Happy birthday, Luffy.
Thanks.